Okay, well, for the first talk of the afternoon, it's my pleasure to introduce Drawbar Natan, who will be telling us about geography versus identity.
Right. So this is not what I usually do. It's sort of a light thing that should fit into 25 minutes. I apologize. But I think it fits and it's fun and it's good to talk about this. Geography, identity, all that. So thanks for inviting me to the topology session, and everything, including a video, will eventually be at drawbn.net/to19. The handout is already there. I hope you're all holding a copy of the handout. That's what it looks like. And here is what geography and identity are. So here is a braid. Here's one crossing X. What do I call this crossing? So if you believe in geography, you sort of call things by where they are, by their placement. You name things by their position. So gamma 1 will be your name for the crossing, the leftmost possibility for the crossing, so crossing between the first and the second strand. Gamma 2 will be your name for a crossing which is sort of one off from the left. Gamma 3, so on. And then there is a handout to pick up over there. And then the name of X, since it's like the second possible place for a crossing, will be gamma 2. If you believe in identity, if you're the identity view, or if you're an identiter, so somebody who practices identity, like all geographers practice geography, so if you're an identiter, you will say, let's name the strands 1, 2, and 3. And by the way, now it doesn't have to be numbers. I could have named them George, Hans, and Duncan, okay? And then they retain their names throughout. They keep their identity. So this is a crossing between strand number 1 and strand number 3. So I would call it sigma 1, 3. Okay? And that actually leads to quite a lot of difference between how people talk about things. So geographers care for placements, as I said, and then for them, tangles must have ends at some distinguished fixed points in advance, and then they end up making a category of tangles because, well, the objects are the placements of the points, and you compose by stacking tangles on top of each other, and they're sort of naturally led to monoidal categories and braided monoidal categories, and they end up talking about these things and therefore about representation theory, and almost everything we call quantum algebra is stated in this language, which is geography language. Identiters, so I'm probably the only identiter you know. So you don't know too much about how identiters think, but let me tell you. So basically here is a tangle, and each strand has a name, and it retains its name throughout. And for me, the basic operation is not a stacking operation, but a stitching operation. So if you have a tangle with two strands, one called A and the other called B, then there is an operation called MABC, and this operation takes the head of strand A, connects it to the tail of strand B, and renames the result. I mean, I could decide on a convention that the result is renamed to be the first of the two, so or something, but that would be not democratic. So therefore, I have a third index, a third subscript, and I name the result C, or whatever it is. And then it turns out that this operation MABC satisfies some conditions, form a certain algebra, and the correct name for this algebra, for this part of algebra is studying metamonoids, meta-Hopf algebras, and the like. And if you really want to learn more, you go to omega epsilon beta, which is defined at the top of the handout to be whatever it is, /Regina or /KBH, And I've talked about these things and written about these things, and you can look at it, but I want to talk about something else today, so I'm not going to say much about this. Also not about this, so maybe the gold standard for identiters is the Alexander polynomial, and again, I don't want to go through the stuff on this slide, but I'll just tell you that this is a complete definition of the Alexander polynomial, not only for knots, but also for tangles, and it is way more efficient than anything else you know, Lion.
Me?
Yeah.
I feel like just referencing a conversation with someone else.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize, sorry. If that was inappropriate, I apologize.
No, it's on board.
Okay.
Talk more, I appreciate it.
Okay, we should talk. Anyway. Good, but I want to talk about braids. I want to make it the minimal possible thing, okay? So here is what braids are. So they are, well, you all know I'm not going to define it, but there are basically two relations. If two crossings occur on non-interacting strands, you can slide them past each other, and there is the Rademeister 3 move. And the geography view, so now I want to turn it into a group, and the geography view would be, I'll call geography braids, I will name them, or it will be the group generated by gamma I, same gamma I as before, and the relations are gamma I, gamma k is equal to gamma k, gamma I, when I and k are far away from each other, that's the first relation, and the second relation, so here, j is I plus 1 and k is I plus 2, and the relation is, so this is gamma I plus 1, gamma I, by their placement. This is gamma I plus 1, gamma I, gamma I plus 1. So the relation is written here. And in fact, this is the standard braid group. So this is very suitable for topology. That's what people in topology study all the time. If you're sort of in the identity view, then identity braids, is the group generated by sigma ij, where sigma ij, as before, stands for a crossing between the strand named A and the strand named J, and again, strands retain their identity. And so the relations are, well, sigma ij, sigma kl, sigma ij and sigma kl commute if the indices don't interact. So size of the set ijkl is 4, so if all four indices are different. And and the second relation is, so you see, this is a crossing between, this is sigma ij because it's a crossing between I and j. This is a sigma ik because it's a crossing between I and k, and this is sigma jk. So the left-hand side is sigma ij, sigma ik, sigma jk, and the right-hand side is written here too. You can verify that it is correct, and it's valid whenever ij and k are all distinct. And this group is actually a different group, and the standard name for it is the pure virtual braid group. But anyway,
strands don't need to be right beside each other.
Sorry?
This strand can cross over that strand.
Yeah. So when I say, so sigma ij is a crossing of strand I and j, but I and j don't need to be near each other. So I have no notion of geography. Okay? You can go from one to the other. And here's a statement of the relationship between the two. So let S be the symmetric group. So just the group of permutation, and my standard name for permutations will be tau. Then there is a group called VB, or virtual braids, which is an extension of both. And this VB group is on the one hand the PVB group, so the identity braids, semi-direct product, the symmetric group. So the symmetric group acts on PVB by just permuting the indices. So you take the semi-direct product, and the claim is that this is isomorphic, and both of these things are what is called VB. So this is isomorphic to the free product of the ordinary braid group with the symmetry group, with the permutation group, modulo one mixed relation that mixes the braids and the permutations, and it's written here, so basically a generator of the braid group commutes with a generator of the permutation group, provided the permutation is benign on the indices involved. And so actually the proof of the theorem is not very hard, it's written here. So going to the left, so going from here to here, I only need to tell you where to map the gamma i's. The permutations just stay permutations. And gamma I goes to sigma I plus 1 times the transposition. And going right, it's a bit more complicated, but it's written here in full. And you know, people who are familiar with the virtual braid group will recognize these pictures. So from the perspective of the virtual braid group, sigma ij is what is written here. Strand I goes to strand j, virtually crosses it, returns virtually, and in fact these formulas, or these pictures, are converted into formulas right here. So that's basically the relationship. And just one comment, so the pure virtual braid group, or in general virtual braids, are way bigger than ordinary braids. Somehow, well, to get to VB, you add relatively little to PVB, namely you just add permutations, and it's a product, or a semi-direct product, which is essentially a product, so it's not much bigger. And to get from braids to virtual braids, you have to take a free product with something, which is way, way, way bigger. And so, in some sense, PVB is way bigger than B. And I didn't say it, but now I say it, practically all quantum algebra invariants extend to PVB. Are actually, even though mostly are stated as all Armagh matrix invariants are mostly stated in the language of geography, but they actually extend to the language of identity. So they almost all extend to PVB, which is sort of an explanation for why quantum algebra is not so great at seeing topology. Basically, the invariants extend way too much, which means that they are a bit coarse. They don't see the fine structure. And unfortunately, that is generally true. Okay? But I do want to tell you about one place where, well, I still want to tell you about braids, where things are relatively simple. So there is something called the Burau representation. And let me tell you what is the Burau representation of the pure virtual braid groups. So it acts on a ring to the power n, where the ring, so basically it's a rank n representation, or if it was a vector space, I would call it an n-dimensional representation. It acts, so the ring is the ring of Laurent polynomials in a variable t. And, or in other words, the representation space is the ring or the free module generated by generators v1 up to vn. So all linear combinations of these vectors with coefficients in Laurent polynomials. And I just have to tell you how sigma ij acts on vk. And I can tell you in one line, and here is this line. So sigma ij acting on vk is vk itself. And with some exceptions, so that if k is equal to j, you also add t minus 1 times vj minus vi. That's all. That's the definition. And by the way, if you ever want to implement it on a computer, so you first have to implement the Kronecker delta function. So delta ij is if I is equal to j, it's 1, otherwise it's 0. And after that, you simply copy. So the Burau representation on indices ij acting on element psi is you take psi and apply the rule. And this rule is a copy of the rule here. And now I set the three-dimensional basis. So let me check that it works only in the three-dimensional case. So the three-dimensional basis is V1, V2, V3, and let's see how B12 acts on it. So V1 goes to V1, V2 goes to V1 minus TV1 plus TV2, V3 stays in place. And now I can check Rademeister 3. So I'll do base 3 and apply to it B12, B13, B23, or B23, B13, B12. And if you look at it, the answers are the same, QED. The Birao representation really is a representation. Okay? Now, the permutation group acts on the n-dimensional vector space by permuting the basis vectors. So the Birao representation extends to this big common group, and then you can restrict it to the ordinary Braid group. And then with this, you can check that the ith generator of the ordinary Braid group goes to the map which maps vi to vi plus 1, vi plus 1 to whatever is written here, and keeps all the other vectors in place. And this is the ordinary, this is the language in which the Birao representation is ordinarily given. Okay? But now I want to move on to the Gassner representation. So the Gassner representation acts on sort of a similar vector space, or not vector space, module, namely the module generated by n vectors, v1 up to vn, but now the coefficients are Laurent polynomials instead of just in one variable, in n variables. And somehow the point is that the variables are associated with the strands. These are variables that have to do with the identity of the strands. When I say ti, it means that it relates to strand number I. And hence, in identity language, this representation is extremely simple to state. In fact, if you look at it, the definition is exactly the same as the Birao representation, with the only difference that instead of t minus 1, it has ti minus 1. That's all. The implementation is again exactly the same as the implementation of the Birao representation. You can test if when you apply g12, g13, g23, you get the same as if you when you apply them in the other order. And you hit enter, the computer says true. So QED, the Gassner representation, really is a representation. And you can try to play the same game. And when you try to play the same game, you say Sn acts on the vector space by permuting the Vi, but now you also have to permute the Ti's. And so, as a representation of Vn, the Gassner representation, sorry, as a representation of Vbn, of the amalgamated group, the Gassner representation is not linear. Renaming variables is not a linear operation. So more precisely, it's linear over Z, but not linear over the ring. So the Gassner representation is either an infinite dimensional representation over Z, because you have to count the dimension of the ring over Z, and Laurent polynomials are infinite dimensional, or if you try to, or it's not a linear representation, okay? Now, it actually descends to the pure Braid group as a finite rank representation, but the pure Braid group is generated by generators that look like, so, you know, you, sorry, that was a mistake. So you take one strand and let it go under all the others and then around and then come back. And the generators of the pure Braid groups are actually long products of generators of the ordinary Braid group. And so the Gassner representation comes out very, very, very complicated when you write it in terms of, what have I done here? I'm sorry. And so the Gassner representation comes out very, very, very complicated when you write it as a representation of the pure Braid group. A non-local sort of, if you go from strand I to strand J, all the vectors in between get affected, not just the vectors with labels I and J. And hence, a geographers will say that the Gassner representation is an obscure, it's obscure because very few people know about it, or relatively few people know about it, because it's so complicated when you write it in terms of pure braids. So it's obscure and only partial extension of pure Au because it only works for pure braids, it doesn't work for all braids. But identiters would say that the pure Au representation is a silly reduction of Gassner. All you have to do is to, to get from pure Au to Gassner, all you have to do is to replace T by T sub I, which really means that pure Au is a silly reduction of pure Au. So, of Gassner, sorry. So I think in this case, the identiters clearly win. Okay, this is a much better world to live in. By the way, an aside, so I spent quite a lot of time trying to find a picture of Betty Jane Gassner and failed. And so just a few words, I believe she was a student of William Magnus and graduated in 1957 or so, which is about 10 years before Joan Biermann graduated from with the same advisor. So I actually called Joan Biermann and she said she might have met her once or twice, but she couldn't really tell me where to find her. Now, I did some web searches and I found an obituary for somebody called Betty Jane Gassner, and it turned out to be somebody else. I looked in various other places, but overall I failed. I couldn't locate her. I don't know where she is now. Anyway, and I want to move on to the next thing. So, I hope you don't mind the name. You know, in old times there was like computer games and there was the turbo version or something. I'm not sure what to name it. So Roland van der Veen and myself, while looking for something else in a different place, and I'm not going to, not in the 2 minutes that I have left, tell you what that thing is, but we found a lovely generalization of the Gassner representation, or maybe not so lovely, but here it is. So basically you take the same ring and the same vector space, and you look at V direct sum R to the n tensor V direct sum the symmetric algebra second symmetric power of V tensor the dual of V, or more, you know, said in a different language, it's the vector space or the module with generators V sub K for this component, V sub LK, so two indices for this component, and things that look like cubic polynomials in two variables, with two variables called U and one variable called W, so it makes them symmetric in these two indices and the last index is distinct. And then the representation is given by a formula. Here is the formula. I have nothing to say. This is it. You want to like it. You don't want to like it, don't like it. It's written in terms of delta. It's a local formula. It might appear complicated, but it's just mathematical standard symbols. And in fact, this formula is already its own implementation. This is computer code. So in fact, if I put the basis with three strands, and now it's a relatively long basis, but it's still finite. So this is still a finite rank representation. And I check it, and the computer says, yes, it satisfies the Rittmeister move. It really is a representation. Like the Gassner representation, Turbo Gassner is also a representation of the pure braid group, restricted to a finite rank representation of the pure braid group, but in the language of the pure braid group, the formulas are much, much, much harder. So in geography language, the formulas are much, much, much harder. And the last comment is that I have no idea where this representation belongs. I know how we found it, but I can't tell you, you know, you should ask me, is it related to Lawrence Bigelow Kramer? I have no idea. Is it injective, faithful? I have no idea. I do know that there are many like it. There is a whole family of representations like it, but I really don't know. I have nothing to say about where it belongs. That's for you to tell. And the definition is not that hard, so maybe you can actually tell. The projector doesn't show, but on the handout you can probably see I've highlighted in various colors parts of the formulas that look like the Gassner representation or like the adjoint of the Gassner representation. So really, I mean, it looks like a mess, but it's really a perturbation of the Gassner representation in some sense. And the last comment to make is, I'm also speaking tomorrow at the Core Diagrams Everywhere section, and again, it will be a not my mainstream talk. I will be talking about 30 years old stuff or 25 years old stuff about how core diagrams are related to knots and Lie algebras, and again, it's very old stuff, but if you want, you can come. That's all. I apologize again if I said something that I shouldn't have said.
Yeah. I had a question though.
Yeah.
The material on this this pure virtual grade, this like theorem and short proof that you gave, is that written down anywhere except for this slide?
This is the absolute perfect write-up of this statement. Namely, it has everything you want to know. Going to the left, you do that. Going to the right, you do that. Everything else is checking details.
I know, it's wonderful. I used this to program an implementation of Arvin Koenig when I was an undergrad. And this is much more succinct than what I did at the time.
Okay, good. Yeah, Hans?
This might be a naive question, silly question. Just checking, TurboGassner, that's a representation of the pure virtual braid group, or is it just...
Yes, it's a representation of the pure virtual braid group. You can see it by, basically here is the identity that I checked.
Yeah.
This is the Rademaster move in identity language. So it's a representation of PVB, but then by taking semi-direct product where the symmetry group acts by permuting the indices, it induces a representation of VB, which then does not descend to the braid group, or at least not as a linear thing, but it does descend to the pure braid group with horrible formulas, with disastrous formulas. So again, identiters win here. Yeah.
You made a remark about how quantum algebras try to extend all the way to pure virtual braids, so that there are little coarse on the actual topology.
Yeah.
Does this have the implication that if we want to find construct invariants that see topology better, they better not extend so far to pure virtual braids?
Or else you should be studying those properties of these invariants which somehow fail outside of the pure braid group, which are true for pure braids, but fail for PVB. And such properties exist. So for example, the Gassner, both the Birao representation and the Gassner representation are unitary, but their unitarity is as representations of PBN, not as representations of PVBN. So if you want to learn something, so the implication is that somehow the unitarity of these representations is important.
Okay, let's thank Dror again.